Did you see her mother just threaten her? It's good to have little ones here. It is. We need more of them. And God can give them to us if we're ready for them. You know, everything has a beginning. And I don't know if you noticed the title of this morning's message, The Beginning of Forgiveness. And even forgiveness has a beginning. I'll tell you, this is one of the messages that as I was preparing this message, once again, the Holy Spirit brought me under conviction. You know, I hope that happens to you as you are reading the Word, as you are studying God's Word, that from time to time, the Holy Spirit will bring you under conviction. That means that there's something in your life that's not 100% what God wants. And we need to prepare to make those changes. And sometimes they're hard changes. And I'll explain to you when we get to that part of this message this morning how I came under conviction and how I am working at trying to make those changes. Because I hope that you will too. I want us to take a little time this morning to think about forgiveness. If you're a born-again Christian, you have experienced forgiveness for yourself from God. You have actually been the subject of forgiveness. God has reached out to you and forgiven you. And He expects each of us to do exactly the same thing for others. You know, husbands and wives don't always get along. They don't always agree. And sometimes there are offenses or perceived offenses that are not intentional. And unless they are forgiven, then there is a breach in the relationship. And we must understand. I did a great Sunday school lesson this morning. And Tim, I really appreciate the effort that went into that. We're dealing with anger, and there's only one solution for that. And that's one that I'll let Tim take care of next week. I'll try not to teach his lesson this morning. But I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Acts. Chapter 26, Paul experienced forgiveness in his life in a way he never anticipated. He wasn't thinking about it when he headed out to Damascus. He was going out to persecute the Christians there. He was going to incarcerate them, put them in prison. Some of them he was probably going to have killed. That's just the way he did. That's what he did. And so he was headed for Damascus. And something happened to him. And this is actually the account. This is his testimony. Later on, after he had pretty well lived his life, Paul came to a place where he was arrested for what he had been doing as a Christian. And he was brought to trial. Now, he had several trials. But this particular one, King Agrippa was there as a witness or as a member of the judiciary to help make a decision what to do with Paul. Because the Romans had no laws against religion. They accepted all religions, every kind. They were the rulers of the world. They had many areas where they had different religions, different kinds of religious activity going on. And so they were not condemning Paul, but the Jews had. And so that's where we are here in Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. And let me read a few of these verses. This is Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining around me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. This is the place where Paul experienced forgiveness. And every one of us who is seated here this morning, who knows Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, experienced exactly the same kind of forgiveness. Now, we may not have had the vision like Paul did here. Paul met Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus, and every one of us at some point met Jesus Christ. We met him. Oh, not bodily, not physically, but he was there. You sensed it in your heart. You sensed it in your soul. You could almost see him. And he was there for one reason, and that was to give you forgiveness for all of your sin. And folks, I don't know how many of you have thought back or do occasionally think back about your sins. But folks, there are so many. At least, maybe I'm worse than, Paul thought he was a worst sinner in the world, and maybe I think of that of myself, but there are so many sins. And some of them were so horrible, so needless. But I committed them anyway. And I had all of that burden upon my heart. My soul was so dead. So dead. But there was a day in my life, just like there was a day in your life, when you met Jesus Christ. Oh, it wasn't on the road to Damascus. Who knows where it was? You know. For me, it was in a Baptist church up in Romeo, Michigan, on the 5th of November, 1961. And Jesus was almost, I could almost see him in that corner, there of the church at the front when I knew I had to surrender my life to you. And you have had same experience. So we have experienced forgiveness from the point of being the one forgiven. And you know how you responded to that. You know what joy filled your life and your soul and the cleanness. Oh, I felt so clean that night. All the dirt and sin was gone. And so, we have a responsibility. Paul was on trial for his life. He shared with King Agrippa this one thing of his testimony, not of all the churches he had started, not about all the people he had led to the Lord Jesus Christ or all the men he had commissioned to serve. It had nothing to do with it. The thing that he wanted to impress King Agrippa with was the fact that he had been forgiven. That Jesus Christ had come to him with forgiveness. Now, like I said, each of us, if we're saved this morning, we have experienced a similar event. And it wasn't quite as dynamic as Paul's, but we've still experienced the exact same thing. God forgave us. And for some of us, that involved more sin. For some of us, less sin. Some of you were probably pretty good people. At least you used to think so. Everybody else thought so. But he was forgiven. You know, if a person doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived a sinless life after being virgin born, that he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, that he died, gave his life, was taken off that cross and buried in a tomb for 3 days. His body lay there. And then on the third day, he arose. If you don't believe that, folks, you're not saved. And you can't be saved until you come to a point of being willing to believe that. In Hebrews, we're told, you say, well, why did he have to die for my sin? In Hebrews, we're told, 9:22, in almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So it's because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that most of us sit here this morning, if not all of us, knowing that we are united under his shed blood and our sin has been forgiven. Jesus willingly paid the price for our sin. Don't you think he has a right to control our lives? Don't you think he has a right to direct us as to how we are to spend the days he gives us? And so I want us this morning to be thinking a little bit about forgiveness and when God's forgiveness for you and for your sin started. Because that's a picture for us. It's a picture for us as to how we are supposed to respond and forgive others. One of the things that I noticed was Paul, and our Sunday school lesson this morning sort of showed the same thing. One of the things I noticed with Paul is he never got angry with anybody. You ever notice that? Neither did Jesus. Oh, he cleansed the temple. We talked about that this morning. But it was totally controlled. Totally. He did not really get angry. If he had gotten angry, think about this, folks. If he had gone into that temple angry, first thing he did was he made a little whip. And he went in and started flailing the animals to get them out of the temple. And also the owners of the animals. But it wasn't in anger. It was to get them to move. It was to get them to a place where they needed to be. He drove out the sheep sellers. He drove out the goat sellers. He drove out the ox sellers. And he ran the animals all out of the temple with the exception of one. What was that? It was the doves. He didn't turn over the cage with the doves because that would have hurt them, would have injured them. And so it wasn't in anger. He understood what he was doing. He drove the sellers out, and he probably turned them all loose. Doesn't tell us. We just know he didn't turn them over, that he didn't injure them. And so, you know, it's easy for me, and I don't know if it's easier for you, it may be, it's easy for me to get proud about many different things without my realizing that I have become proud. And pride is a sin. I cannot serve the Lord in pride. I can't serve the Lord with pride in my heart. If I try, I'm going to fail, because the Holy Spirit cannot bless that, because it's sin. And each one of us, we want to serve the Lord in some way. And so we need to be sure day by day that we're not building up pride in our hearts. God's willing, forgive us. And that forgiveness actually has to come before the sin. How many times have you been offended by somebody? And then you have to think about it and forgive them. Not just automatic. It doesn't just come automatically. You have to actually think about it. Well, am I going to forgive them or no? Nah, I'm going to put this up on their board there, you know. I'll remember the next time. That's not forgiveness. That's not. God expects us to forgive as he forgave us. And I want us to think about how to do that. And I want us to look at the example that God gave us and gives us in his word. You know, I think that sometimes we forget who we are and what we are. I don't like to think of myself this way, especially when I look in the mirror and I'm shaving in the morning. I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess that's going to be good enough to present to the public. Wish it had a different nose on it, but maybe a little more hair. But, you know, I'm just a dirty old sinner. Yeah, a dirty old sinner that God has forgiven. Not because of who I am or what I am or anything that I've done. He has forgiven me because Jesus Christ died for my sin. And he died for all of your sin also. And so he can forgive you. And it's as though you never sinned in his sight. You are just as pure and white and ready to go to heaven as anyone in the whole world. God forgave us completely. But he expects us to do everything we can to make things right with the people we've offended. You and I have sinned against people. All of our lives, when we were children, against other children, when we were in school, against our schoolmates, at work, against maybe some of the folks that we work with. And you know what? He expects us to forgive them anything they did to us. There are people in my past that I would like to be able to go to and seek forgiveness, because I feel badly about what I did to them. But I don't know where some of those people are. I don't know that they're even alive today. And we talked in an earlier Sunday school class about guilt. And we need to be able to forgive ourselves as well as forgive others. Because that's all part of this thing we call forgiveness. And if I knew where I could reach some of these folks, I would go and ask them to forgive me. There are times I have to do that with my wife. There are times when I may have to do that with one of you. If I know I have offended you. And you know what? Now here's where you might want to get your feet off the floor so that you don't get a toe stepped on. There are times when you need to do the same thing. There are people in your life that you need to go to and ask for forgiveness. Because you're supposed to be telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he can save them and how he loves them and how God loves them. But if you've offended somebody, if you've been mean, you've been hateful, you've been short-tempered, you've gotten angry, you can't tell them about Jesus till you get that settled between you and them. And there are a lot of people out there, I'm afraid, that Christians have offended. I'm not pointing any of you out, but Christians have offended. And then they've tried to go back, or some other Christian has come along and wants to tell them how to get saved and why they need to be saved. But they remember that Christian that offended them. They remember that Christian that did something to them. How do you suppose they would respond if that Christian came to them and said, "Would you please forgive me? I did you wrong." Without any pressure, but voluntarily, because you love that person. This may make you think of people in your life. It's made me think of some in mine that I need to go back and ask. And sometimes it's our kids. It's our own family. And for years, the Holy Spirit has been prodding at our heart about something that we did years ago that we wish we hadn't done, because we know that it was wrong. And so we need to think about making things right with people. If we want to have a ministry, we don't want them to think that we're a hypocrite. Nobody wants to be a hypocrite. Well, he's supposed to be such a goody-goody. But, 4 years ago, he did this to me. Or he said that to me. And he offended me. And he never asked me for forgiveness. Don't you think the world knows what we're supposed to do? Don't you think the world knows how we're supposed to react? How what we are supposed to be as Christians? Of course they do. The devil makes sure they do know, so that they will not come to Jesus Christ because they see some hypocrite trying to tell them how. And so we need to do the same thing that God had. And we're gonna get into this. Forgiveness is not instantaneous. It should be, but it's not. We talked about various traffic situations and my first reaction is one of pride. Oh, he took my place in the road. This is my road. Or he wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do. He wouldn't let me in. He closed me off. And be honest with yourself. Has there ever been a time when you have anticipated that somebody in the other lane wants to move over in front of you and you tightened it up? You did, didn't you? My, how loving that was. And yet, we react when somebody does that to us. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Sometimes it's hard to come by. How do you think some of the folks that we know, that we work with, that we maybe live close to, neighbors, how do you think they'd feel if we came to them and said, you know, I did this some time ago, and it's been bothering me. The Lord won't let me get by with it. I want to ask you to forgive. Once they come to from passing out, they might think about it. And so when they come out of their faint, you know, you can explain that the Lord's just been dealing with you about it and you want them to forgive you because it matters. It matters. We, you know, this morning we're looking at forgiveness and forgiving. And by the way, it's not an accident that I chose this topic for this morning. I want you to see something that the Lord has showed me and as I've been preparing other messages. And by the way, tonight we're going to start in Genesis. And I think you're going to enjoy it. I hope you get excited about it like I have gotten as we begin to look at this. Tonight we'll cover the first five verses. There's a lot of meat there. And so it'll be filet mignon tonight. But anyway, as I've been preparing these messages, the Lord has sort of convicted me and shown me something that I want to share with you this morning. I want to take a few minutes to think about why God chose to forgive you. Why did God choose to forgive you? Were you valuable to him? Were you, you know, a person that nobody could do without? Why did God choose to forgive you? And when did God choose to forgive you? Because that's almost as important as why. And so I want us to look at that for just a few minutes this morning. Did you deserve forgiveness? No. Were you somebody special? No. What did God have to forgive you for in the way of sin? And that's when I was thinking back of some of the things that I've done. You can think back of some of the things you've done. And some of the wickedness that we practiced as individuals. But just think about the cleansing that you got from Jesus Christ. I sometimes do have difficulty believing that he could cleanse me from all the things that I've done. That he could actually forgive me. It had nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with God. And that's where we have to understand what he did and why and when. There's only one reason, only one, that God forgave you. You know what it is? He loves you. He loves you. He loved you before you were ever created. Because think about it, there's been 4,000 years of humanity that we know of recorded in God's Word. Then we had another 2,000 years of Jesus Christ going to the cross and Gentiles getting, that's you and I, getting saved. So up to now we've had 6,000 years of people sinning against each other. And yet, before God ever created the earth, before the creation ever started, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit decided that they were going to have to redeem us from our sin. And why would they do that? Because God loves you. He does. He loves you more than you'll ever understand. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And it's not like we have given him any reason to love us. But he loves us anyway. And it was that love before creation, before you were even, you know, a gleam in your parents' eye, that love provided for him to forgive you before you ever committed the first sin. The forgiveness was there. It was available. But we were having too much fun being ourselves. We were enjoying regulating our own lives and doing the things we wanted to do. And thereby we were sinning against a loving, holy God. But he was ready. Jesus Christ paid the price. In actuality, it was paid before the creation ever occurred. It was going to happen. God knew who you would be. God knew what sin you would commit. And he decided that Jesus had to go to the cross to redeem you. And he did. He did. Another month and a half, so we're gonna celebrate Easter. And by the way, we're gonna have a sunrise service. We're going to have breakfast afterwards. And then we're going to have a morning service. No Sunday school. And we're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove your sins were forgiven. Why did God do that? He did it because he loved you before you were ever created. When Jesus began the creation, he loved what he was doing. He loved the creation. He loved the people that he created. He loved you because he could see an eternity, and looking forward, he could see you living here now. And he loved you enough to forgive your sin. Now, if we're going to forgive, you know where we have to start? We have to start by loving. Loving people the way Jesus did. He loved everyone. Even the old Pharisees and Sadducees, he loved them. And the problem you and I have, at least the problem for me, is that I have difficulty sometimes divorcing the person from their actions. I see what they're doing, and I attribute that to the person. And I connect that to the person. And I don't like the person. Now we're come to the part where I came under conviction. There's a few names that I realized I don't love them. And you know what? I don't. But you know what God tells me? He says, I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to love them. And you know, I can't love them without knowing something about them or a little bit about them. They're as human as I am. And we all sit here and we're from different families, different names, maybe different skin colors, different backgrounds. But every one of us goes back to one couple. We are related. Goes back to Noah and his wife. Every one of us. When we sing the family of God, we are singing a true song, a true hymn, a true praise to God. We are part of that family. Now, we're not supposed to be fighting. We're supposed to be loving. And you know what? I should love Nancy Pelosi. There it is. I should love Chuck Schumer. I should love Joe Biden. And if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I'm going to learn to love them. And if I can do that, then when the time comes and it's necessary, I can forgive them. No matter what. Because God did that for you. God did that for me. He loved me before I ever knew him. You didn't seek out God. He sought you out because he loved you. That's a proof of his love. And so if we're going to forgive, we're going to have to love first. And that means that we have to find reasons to love. So we need to take a look at humanity all around us. Just think of the people that live around us, going by here every day. People who need to be loved. And so when the Holy Spirit came into your soul, when he made your soul alive again, he also gave you the capacity to love everyone. See, the love that he brought to you is not limited. It's not quantified. You have the capacity to love as many people as you need to love. As many people as you know about. You say, oh, Pastor, that can't be true. I can prove it. How do you respond to a Dalmatian puppy? Okay, you have a capacity to love a Dalmatian puppy. You've got the ability to love the people around you. God loved us, and because he loved us, he forgave us. And that's what we have to do. When we have that person tighten up that slot we were just going to move into out there on the highway, we're supposed to love them. And maybe even feel a little sorry for them because they don't know any better. That's why we should love them. Not because they're some poor idiot, okay? We're supposed to love the people around us. We're supposed to love the people that God put in our lives. Now, Nancy Pelosi's not really a part of my life right now, but she has an influence on it. And she's got a soul. And I'm afraid that soul is dead right now. And so I need to faithfully, fervently, pray for her and love her so that if the time ever comes that I need to, I can forgive. We're talking about the beginning of forgiveness, and the beginning of forgiveness is love. That's the beginning. You understand where we are right now? We're at the beginning of forgiveness. And it's love. Sometimes we get it backward. We think, well, I'll forgive them and then I'll start to love them. Doesn't work that way. We can't do that. We've got to love first and then forgive. So we'll probably come back to this subject again. We need to. But for now, we now know where the beginning of forgiveness is. It's love. And so we need to work on loving folks. There's something special for the end of the service. And so I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer after we take the offering for the blessing box. So if the deacons will come,